Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topic focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Doctor, is your host. We engage experts, various disciplines, and individuals of different walks of life, but most importantly, you are a listening audience in provocative conversations. Additionally, this show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our national community. The topic for tonight is one of great importance. The concept of mental health has different ethnic connotations based on customs, folklores, myths, and even subcultural tradition. People define or assign different meanings of what is good, quote unquote, or bad, quote unquote, mental status. All across America, there is widespread concern for the social, emotional health and safety of young and old people. Tonight we will have as our guest, he's running a little late but hope to join us around 7:45, Dr. Yehuda Green, a medical doctor out of the Chicago, Illinois area, and he's going to talk with us about mental health crisis in urban America. And our topic specifically is the preacher or psychiatrist, who do I turn to? And again, we're talking about the mental health crisis. That is our topic tonight. Feel free, in case you are a first-time listener, what we do is we provide a monologue, about 10 to 15-minute monologue, before we begin to open our phone lines, which is 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. We encourage you and welcome your question, your comment, and to participate in this live dialogue. We're going to have with us, as usual, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is a regular panel member here for Talk Straight, and we appreciate all of his contributions. He's the author of Steel High, a very powerful instructional aid for individuals seeking to get over the chains of drug addiction and how to do so. A very powerful book, and incidentally, that's on our website, in the back store, that's www.bfcinstitute.com. www.thehealthinstitute.com. All right, having said that, again, we look forward to having Dr. Yehuda Green to join us in just a little bit here. And we're going to talk from the topic, the preacher or psychiatrist. Who do I turn to? It's about the mental health crisis. Having said that, let me go ahead and offer this monologue for our listening audience, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Isaiah, the 26th chapter in the third verse, reads very simply, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I want to speak from the context of what a pastor slash preacher is, the central role of a psychiatrist. Give some sort of functional meaning of what the mind is, since that's what we're really talking about. And then talk about mental health in terms of its basic elements. And lastly, offer some mental health indicators. Okay, and the hope is that from that context, we'll be able to engage in some very useful and healthy dialogue. And perhaps by 7:45 or so, we'll have Dr. Green on with us, and he can we can bring him back in, and he can give us the perspective of someone who's in the field and has been for some years now. All right, let's talk about first the pastor or preacher. A preacher usually identifies as a person who delivers sermons or homilies of some sort on religious topics to a organized or congregational group of people, some assembly. Less common are preachers who preach on the street, interestingly enough. But typically when we talk about a preacher, we think of people in a fixed building in a location. Those whose message is not necessarily religious is not considered to be a preacher so much, but who preach a component of such as moral and social issues and offer a worldwide view or philosophy on critical issues that are going on in your community, on your block, in your nation. Oftentimes, that's not really seen as being a preacher. Conversely, the term pastor, though, as relates to the role of an elder within the church, and this is largely based on New Testament teaching. It's not synonymous with the understanding of a minister, though. So a minister is anyone who serves in ministry. But the pastor, specifically, is one who is seen, recognized, and respected in the role typically used in the Bible and defined as a shepherd, someone that looks out for your best interests. That kind of helps us shape the conversation between the preacher and the psychiatrist. So let's look and see what the psychiatrist's role is. What is it that we can expect from them? Now, we know that the preacher, from a spiritual, biblical context, is expected, the pastor, I should say more specifically, is expected to look out like a shepherd for your soul's salvation. On the other hand, a psychiatrist is a physician, someone who's went to medical school. And this physician specializes in the field of psychiatry, which is the branch of medicine that devotes itself to diagnosis, prevention, study, and treatment of mental disorders. Psychiatrists are medical doctors. Unlike psychologists, who may not be a medical doctor, and must evaluate patients to determine whether their symptoms are the result of a physical illness, a combination of physical and mental ailments, or strictly psychiatric. So really the doctor, the psychiatrist, has spent time studying and examining the brain. From the brain, we generally associate that with our mind. So you got the preacher who's looking out for the shepherd of your soul, right? And you got the psychiatrist who has spent time studying and examining and using best practice and research to understand how to treat the brain. Okay? Let's talk about what the mind is, give a functional definition of the mind. And then we kind of understand the difference between mental health and health in general. Okay? So the mind is a set of what's known as cognitive faculties. In other words, people's ability to reason, to think, including their consciousness, their perception of what is real and what is not, how they think, ability to make a judgment call, or to recall things in their memory. Usually it's defined as the faculty or of an entity's thought or consciousness. That's what we talk about when we talk about the mind. The mind holds the power of imagination, recognition of things that are essential and non-essential, as well as the ability to appreciate things in the present and the past, perhaps even in the future. The mind is responsible for processing how we feel and our emotions, resulting in what we see and we say your attitude or your action. There is a lengthy tradition in the field of philosophy, religion, and psychology, as well as cognitive science, about what constitutes a mind. So there's some difference there. And what are its distinguishable properties? Okay? So now we got the psychiatrist, we got the preacher man or the pastor looking at your mind. All right? Now let's look at what mental health is in terms of this basic definition. The term mental health is commonly used in reference to a mental illness. Something is wrong. It's not normal. However, knowledge of the field has progressed so much to the level that appropriately differentiates just the mental aspect and illness itself. Although mental health and mental illness itself are related, very much so, they represent different psychological states. So one could have mental health but not necessarily have mental illness, or have mental illness, and we have to find out what is the nature of this illness. Is it mental? Is it physical? Right? So there's room for further discovery. Mental health is a state of well-being in which individuals realizes his or her own abilities. This is when you got mental health. And those people can cope with the normal stressors of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to their community. Estimated that somewhere around 17% of United States adults are considered to be in a state of health. Things are good for them. They can function. There is emerging evidence, however, that positive mental health is associated with improved health outcomes. Your diet, your heart, your kidneys, things, your blood pressure, and things of that nature. Now, to go a little further, mental health illness compared to mental health itself is defined as collectively all things that are diagnosable mental disorders. There's a book called the DSM-3, I believe the most recent one is 5 now. A certain one I have in my office, and it goes through a certain list of things, or health conditions, as they would call them. These are characterized by alterations of thinking, a person's mood, or behavior. When you see some change or different there from what is normal, what is usual for them, you know that there's some indication here. It could be a combination of all three of those, your thinking, your mood, and your behavior, though, that sends up the red flag. But it indicates that there's some sort of distress, or you can see impaired functioning at work, in relationships with people in your neighborhood, at school, any of those type of things, right? Interestingly enough, depression is the most common type of mental health illness that is generally accepted. It affects more than about 26% of the United States adults population. These are things that you can reference with the Center for Disease Control as well. So some of the stats and numbers that I'm sharing with you. It's been estimated that by 2020, not long from now, depression will be the second leading cause of disability throughout the world, trailing the ischemic heart disease. Evidence has shown that mental health disorders, especially depressive disorders, are strongly related to the occurrence, successful treatment, and course of many chronic diseases, including diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease or heart issues, asthma, and obesity, and many risk behaviors for chronic disease, such as your physical inactivity, not exercising or doing much anything, smoking cigarettes, excessive drinking, and even insomnia, not getting enough sleep for some reason or another. Now, briefly, let me share with you some of the indicators. How do you know when there's a concern? Typically, how does doctors know there's a concern for one's mental health? Okay. In the healthcare and public health arena, more emphasis and resources have been devoted over the last few years or decades or so to screening, diagnosis, and treatment of mental illness than mental health itself. So they're more concerned about how to identify a mental illness. Little has been done to protect the mental health of those that don't have mental illness. So not a whole lot of research is going in to keep people mentally stable, healthy, as it has been focused on those who have mental illness. How do we fix those, resolve those? Researchers suggest that there are indicators of mental health representing three domains, they call them. And those domains are as follows: the emotional well-being of people, such as perceived life satisfaction. Are people happy? Are they cheerful? Are they peaceful? Can they get along with other people? Now, when we look at urban America, particularly those precincts that have high rates of crime, violence, gun violence, and things of that nature, we have to ask ourselves, is there a correlation here between satisfaction, happiness, cheerfulness, and peacefulness? Then the other domain is psychological well-being, and it has to do with self-acceptance. Are you able to accept the reality of certain things? Personal growth, including openness to new experiences, being optimistic, being hopeful, purposeful in life, control of one's environment. Is your spirituality intact? Can you balance your religious beliefs with your social realities? Self-direction and positive relationship. All of those things factor into your psychological well-being. And you'll find that oftentimes it's difficult for people to stay straight in some of those areas that I just mentioned. But lastly, your social well-being. And it has to do with social acceptance. Can you get along with people around you? Do you have good personable skills? Beliefs in the potential of other people in society as a whole. Do you have much confidence and faith, or are you untrusting? Are you always ready to go to war with somebody if you find disagreement with them? Personal self-worth. I believe in me, and I know I can if no one else does. I know that I'm useful in society, and I have a sense of orientation to my community with my people. Now, social determinants of mental health include adequate housing. This is how we determine if things are in order. If a person is able to maintain independence through adequate housing, particularly if they have children, how safe are your neighborhoods and the people that live there? Equitable jobs. How well are you able to maintain gainful employment and work at a certain wage level? The quality of your education determines the social well-being. And the equity and access to quality health care. All of the above are factors. Now, we're going to open up the phone. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we're talking from the topic, a preacher or the psychiatrist? Who do you turn to? We're dealing with the mental health crisis. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we expect to have Dr. Yehuda Green to join us. But right now we have with us, you can give us a call here, 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. Don't hesitate to call us. You're calling, if you're listening in from Facebook or the Blog Talk platform or the Twitter lead, feel free to just click on the link there and join us live right now. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
I'm trying to make sure my mind is right, man. Help me out here tonight.
Oh, man, you talking some heavy stuff tonight. Yeah.
Pastor, you heard the monologue. Now, I know a lot of good people, man. You understand what I'm saying? And when you see, well, you can't, you don't, you know, have you heard the expression, don't judge a book by its cover?
I've heard that.
Yeah. You don't know until they open their mouth, until you interact with where they are. In the context of what we're talking about mental illness and things of that nature, where am I off? Talk to me, man. How did I go wrong? Now, you've been dealing with people a long time.
Yeah, I tell you, man, in my time frame of recognizing the mental being, you know, that it just reminds me of me, man. I can't help but acknowledge it, you know.
Don't say that.
So you're talking about who do you want to run to, I think, is what you basically were saying. Go to
that's
a
right.
teacher or a psychiatrist. Is that the
right,
question that was asked?
Right.
And I know in my awareness now, I didn't run to a psychiatrist, but it wasn't because I didn't have a mental problem, because I had to be inside to do what I was doing. You know? So I know what it is to be insane.
And
to say
you ain't trying to say you crazy.
I have to say, man, I noticed some other people were as well, but I found out before I knew anything about them that I was insane. You
My
see
Lord.
And I insane to do what I used to do.
Something
is trying to destroy you and you continue to do it, there's something got to be wrong with you. That's what I said to myself after I got free from it. And then that was a man that was crying and cutting on himself day and night. You
My
know?
Lord.
And one would say, did he go to the psychiatrist or did he run to the weight maker? And in my recovery now, I'm going to go back home on what I found out about him so I can humbly say what I had to do myself. And I ran to the preacher, but found out later on that this man went to the preacher, you know, Jesus, the way maker. He called upon him, man. Not only did he call upon him, he got him free. And he made him free, and he became messenger, you know. And people found it ironic, man, that this man was free, even though he was in the place now with people who said that they knew God. Who would always say, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. Say people would say things like that. Didn't hear them say that concerning the man that ran and got into their arena, but he did. And they found him sitting and clothed in his right mind. But they was afraid of him. But they wasn't afraid of him to say he was a lunatic. He was insane. He was like the point to say at that point. But once he got free, that's when they thought something was wrong with him. So I don't know about that, man. But I ran to the preacher. That's who I ran to, and I was glad I did.
All right. Pastor, hold that thought. We got a caller on from 615, the last four digits of number 9906. And I see 1080 on with us as well. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Let me kind of set up. I don't know if you heard our monologue, but let me just kind of set the conversation up. Now, Pastor Ricky Wallace is one of our regular panelists, and he just told us that at some point in time in his life, he was crazy, out of his mind. I have to agree with him. I was, too. But I'm going to get to that in just a minute. The question we want to try to get at tonight before our Dr. Green comes on, he should be joining us here in just a little bit, the preacher or the psychiatrist, who do we turn to? We want to talk about the mental health crisis that we see it, particularly in urban America. Caller 9906. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Y'all hear me?
Good. Welcome to Talk Straight.
All right. I was just really wanting to listen in. I don't have a question as of now. Just listening
and enjoying the conversation.
Maybe a chance later may want to interject something, but I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, you know what? As they say in Spanish, mi casa es su casa. My house is your house, so you're welcome anytime. Ted, if you want to come in there.
I'm listening in as well. Psychiatrist
okay.
or the preacher? Man, that's a good one, huh?
Both. I'm going to need y'all to help me now. Max.
Okay.
Pastor Waller, I'm going to come back in. I'm going to pick on you tonight, Pastor Waller. Is that all right? Until Dr. Green gets it.
Yes, sir. You give me a reminder. Go right ahead.
All right. So here's my question, Pastor. And call us. Y'all feel free to jump in there anytime. Get in where you fit in. What role does the preacher play in the psychological growth of a person, whether they're in their church, a member or not? Talk to me about that.
Well, as a messenger, you know, you would always like to believe that no matter where you are, you know, since it's 7 days out of in a week, and then people don't have a one-day problem. I mean, if a person is insane on one day, surely he possibly would be insane the day. And so when you think about a preacher and then the responsibilities of a preacher, that the Bible says, you know, to preach the word of God in seasons and out of seasons. And so that means whether you're inside of a building or on the outside. Now, there's a lot of people what I used to do on the outside, and oftentimes they would come up to me and ask me, what is the word for the day? Now,
I get you.
Because of what they're doing. But I believe because of that they're in, when they ask a question like that, I think it's legit. And so it's up to me to tell them what the word is for the day. And I don't have to go and put no Bible in my hand and say, well, let me go find out what the Bible says. It should be something instilled in me that can encourage me that I know is insane. And I'm not going to tell them that they're insane, but I know when a person is insane because I used to be that. And sometimes they'll even offer me what they're doing. Say, here, take a hit of this. And I had to tell them, I said, you're not strong enough, what you have right. If you got something stronger than what I'm on, I said, then you got something. But right now, that's not strong enough. And so one man said, hey, man, why are you trying to offer him that? Well, what he's supposed to do, that's what he do. He's only offering me what he have to offer.
Right.
And so, I just thank God for knowledge and wisdom to know now the difference that Paul himself recognized that he was doing things, and he recognized within himself. He said, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious insane man. I've changed mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And that's amazing,
Pastor,
man,
right
a person can be. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold right there now. You know, I've had many people say to me, Reverend, I trust God. But let me tell you something. War, the group war, they have this piece, and that I think that is apropos to what we're talking about. And if give me just a couple of minutes to hear what about a minute and 15 seconds, and listen to what war said. Now, I'm going to tell you something now, and I'm a pastor myself, but I have experienced a lot of people in this predicament right here, those who say, I don't want to go to no doctor because I ain't crazy, but I trust God. But you can clearly see something is wrong in their life. Watch this. Listen to war for a second.
I can feel all your
Now, Brother Pastor, it's a whole lot of folk now. I'm talking about church folk that are locked in four corners of their mind. And they can't seem to find answers from the preacher or the psychiatrist. Talk to me like I'm 3 years old.
And you sound like to me you're talking about people that are in a place where they should be able to get information from the preacher in the four corner room. That's basically what you're saying. And then, not only that, when they're there, they even offer them to open up the book.
Okay.
Book of answers. And
they would encourage them to read it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they'll read it themselves, but sometimes, I just say sometimes now.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
The person who is reading the scripture to them, who asked them to open their book, and they're not explaining it to them in such a way.
Come on now.
That it would take down the strongholds that would cause those people that are in the audience that are in pain to be restored. You see? And I mean, there's a lot of people that I'm sure even today that are still attending church. Believe me now when I say this. I mean, I've experienced it, that are attending church. But before they leave out of the church, after the service is over, that insanity kicks in another gear, and it just seemed like they just came to church as a tradition. You see? They don't even know that they're insane. I want you to picture a person in there insane and don't even know it.
See, don't know
people
it.
Are like,
don't know it.
Know it. But then you got those that do know it. You see, there's a difference.
Pastor,
I visited the church.
Pastor, listen at this. I'm with you. See, you said that there are people that encourage to read the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And I would argue that a lot of the problems that we see in the community, in these urban areas, somehow are related to the failure of the structured church body to really address certain issues. Now, I don't mean that to defame the church. I'm simply saying that's where we need to do our work. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore,
that's right.
Get wisdom. And with thy getting, get what? An understanding.
Yeah, and that's it.
I believe that's where the frustration comes from. People don't understand that.
And that's the beauty of it, Pastor. You just said it, and I want to elaborate on that, if you will. And see, I want you to picture a person that's insane, that doesn't have a book, just walking in the building, and he's insane, but he's listening. And he hears somebody say, faith cometh by hearing, and
in
hearing by the word of God. Watch this. And then that person get wisdom right there, and say they seek an understanding, and they hear that word, and they understand that they heard this word, and they grab a hold to it. That means that this person is seeking a way to get free. And then that person is free without a Bible in his hand. See the difference? Now, while the person who has the Bible in their hand, following all the instructions, stand up on their feet, open the book up, go to the chapter, read the verse.
You're saying something.
And lean back out of there and still insane. You see?
Lord have mercy.
And so, to me, he's saying, you know, who is it that's open minded that are coming here and that they would receive, embrace, and to apply? See, that's the most important thing about receiving, because when you're insane, I'm going to say this about me. When I was insane, and putting that stuff in my system, and this stuff made my go back to my head. It's in the back of my head, and I'm sitting up there saying, if I come down off this, I'm gonna never do that again. And do it again. That's just saying that I'm insane. Something's wrong with me.
Okay.
And then one day I get free, and you know, I think it's something wrong with me when I got free versus when I was insane. Do one know the difference between being insane and being free? You know, sometimes I think they think being free, you're insane. And I'm so amazed by this topic tonight.
You're saying something, brother, because what has happened is the word of truth has been erased. The line has been erased for what is right and what is wrong. So much so.
Yeah.
Until what was considered abnormal has become the norm of it. And young people can't see themselves as the abnormal destructive behavior that causes them to be in some of the most precarious positions. They don't understand. How did I get there?
Yeah.
And they mad, Pastor. They're mad and callers they're mad at those in assumed authority position because ain't nobody giving no straight answer, and you didn't stop me from walking in that hole. You ought to knew I was
right.
going that hole.
That's right, and rightfully so. They have a right to be angry because
Absolutely. There's
like, why am I going to church? You know, why am I still going to church? See, church is not a play thing. To go to church is
That's
like
right.
going to a place
That's right.
to get information.
That's right.
You
Amen.
See?
Amen.
That's why I don't play the church thing. I just don't agree with it. And I mean, I'm not trying to force people to stop playing, but I know that when a person is dealing with some insanity in their lives and they're
yes,
seeking,
sir.
You know,
right.
ways to get free from it, I think it's only
right.
fair for the teacher, you know, to teach. Because when a student shows up, the teacher should appear.
Watch
you
it
know?
Now. Watch it. Watch it now.
Yeah.
Watch it now.
When you're going
I got a
house,
feeling.
Huh?
Pastor, I got a feeling. I got a feeling.
Yeah.
I got a feeling that 9906 or 1080 got something they want to say. And I'm going to
sure.
give them a second if they want to yes. they want to give a rebuttal or ask a question or comment or something like that.
Please do.
9906 and make a comment if you don't mind.
All right. Come on, 9906.
Let's go.
Since he opened up the door when he said, being open-minded, if a person be open-minded. And I look at a psychiatrist and the preacher, they both have one similar thing to offer. Anyone that
okay.
comes to
okay.
them, the only thing they're trying to offer, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Only
yes,
thing
sir.
He
we
has to offer
ahead.
Is get that person seeing things in a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
From what they're looking at it now. So if they're in depression
okay.
or whatever they're dealing with in life, evidently they perceive it at its worst and it's making them sick. If we can agree
true.
With the word psyche or psyche
right.
in Greek
uh-huh.
for soul, and so we're
uh-huh.
looking at a person's soul, we know that the pastor has that commission right,
mm.
to teach that
mm-hmm.
which is healing unto the soul. Okay, so
okay.
the pastor now, they both have in common the ability to show somebody a different perspective in what they're looking at, the psychiatrist or the pastor. But the pastor
right.
has another weapon, which is just that, to introduce him to the comforter, the Lord God Almighty
mm-hmm.
himself. And a part of that
right.
example for the kid is just that we need to be living a life as a person who is receiving that comfort and as
okay.
an example to those who are in need of that comfort. All right,
mm-hmm.
and on the other end, the psychiatrist has things to help them see things in different perspectives, and that is drugs. So they offer, you know,
wait
drugs.
A minute now. Wait a minute, Carla. Wait a minute. Say drugs.
Yes, sir.
Drugs.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All your doctors are going to do one or two things. They're going to either cut. Or what? A Medicaid. With these psychiatrists, they're trying to get people to these meds. All right,
well,
again, to see what? See life in a what? Different perspective.
I see.
Okay,
I see.
So they can
now, can I say this? Can you hold your thought? I love where you're going. Here's the thing. What we've learned,
yeah.
those that have studied the area in the field, mental health, is that particularly in depression, in the case of depression, right, mm-hmm. a depressive episode, mm-hmm. Because of social mm-hmm. stress and or using illicit, illegal drugs such as marijuana or cocaine or heroin, things of that nature, it can cause an imbalance in the chemical processes of the body and particularly in the brain, which leads to the dual diagnosis of depression that was triggered by the either the social stress in your life, not getting enough sleep, not having a proper diet, and things of that nature, right? So is there anything wrong with the psychiatrist offering medication that is approved by the FDA to help bring balance back to, not long-term, at least temporary, bring balance back to the normal chemical levels and process? Is there anything wrong with that, caller? 9906?
Well, I guess anything done in moderation is fine.
Okay.
But
okay.
again,
okay.
as you said, need to be bringing things back to balance, but not getting them definitely addicted to the drug in itself.
Okay.
when a person is in a crisis state, you know, they need to use whatever tool as possible. I don't think it's a either or situation. Either go to the psychiatrist or the preacher. Could be a combination of both. Whatever is needed. Problem in our community, a lot, especially as far as people not going to psychiatrists, not necessarily they so much in love with their pastor or believe in the scripture. The fact that they don't have the health care,
health
insurance to go to the psychiatrist and get treated in that manner. A lot of times they don't do that because of financial restraint. Sometimes, yes, I do think there's something wrong with it because I believe that psychiatrists need to broaden their toolbox. Okay, they go to these drugs quickly, and they don't look at natural stuff. They don't look at a lot of times they jump past, as you mentioned, changing the diet up and this and that, exercise this and that. They get paid a lot of time by these pharmaceutical companies to push their drugs. They go to school not to learn the exercise and this and that for the most part, but they learn what drugs are affecting that mind.
Okay.
Right? What drugs you're putting on the brain to affect that mind. And
I see.
And so, yeah, that a lot of time when you're dealing with opium addictions these days, I mean, people start out and it's a lot of time for pain or whatever else they did with going to the doctor and they carry it on. So yeah, yes,
right.
I've said everything in moderation.
Okay,
in moderation.
I'm gonna, Carl. I'm gonna bring that back when Dr. Green comes on. I'm curious to hear his position because I happen to know that he's also an ordained minister as well as a medical doctor who practices in psychiatry. But if it's okay, I'd like to bring that back. Sometimes I'd like for you to kind of join me in that dialogue with him. I expect him about. In a couple of minutes here to join us for the latter part of the show. But great conversation.
I'm going to have to drop off. I'm going to have to drop off, and if I could, call back in if I can.
Okay.
Call back in.
Ma'am.
All right.
Listen, brother, stay with us anytime. Join us anytime. We sure appreciate you. We appreciate you, though.
Yeah,
but
if
you
get
have
a
to
chance,
leave,
I'll call back.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you so
chance,
much.
If I get a chance, I'll call back. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. All right. But, Pastor, what about that, man? No, wait a minute. Hold on, Pastor. 1080. 1080, come on, man. What's up?
To me, man, I feel like the pastor is a psychiatrist, so it's kind of like
wow.
A psychiatrist. But the thing about the preacher is, though, he's supposed to know what's in that room. He's going to be led by the spirit, so he's supposed to know that spirit is in the room. Now, the psychiatrist is going to kind of wait for you to tell. So tell me the problem, what's going on in your life, but the preacher's supposed to have that anointing on him. He's supposed
Whoa.
To know what's in that room,
Whoa.
So he's kind of more responsible Whoa. If he's the real deal, I feel like. If not, you probably got to find a different church home. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. Don't go. Pastor Wilder, help him out, man. Don't go there. Don't run him off.
Well, you know,
I feel like the preacher, he affects your belief system. Man. Nothing is more firm and more concrete than what you believe in. Now you got a strong belief system. You know what I'm saying? You can do some things, but a psychiatrist kind of just trying to make some money off your problem. He's not really trying to solve. He's just trying to get more time out of you to get more money out of you. Well, I guess some preachers could do that as well, but at the same time, he's the ultimate psychiatrist because he's here from God, so you trust that more.
Right.
Well, you know straight.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Look, Charles be getting on my nerve with that, man. He be hitting that. He be hitting below the belt.
Yeah, but Charles.
No, I'm gonna tell you the truth, Charles. I'm going to tell you the truth. Here's the reality. You have a realistic perspective about things because it sounds like to me you've witnessed people be hurt in churches. That's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to put, and you know that something is not quite adding up, right?
Right.
And there is a need and room for improvements, particularly when it comes to the pastor or the preacher's engagement with other people, you see. And interestingly enough, Pastor Waller, the text in 1 Peter 4:17 talks about how judgment begins in the house of God. In other words, there's a reasonable expectation. There's a reasonable expectation that you can get from the man of God, the preacher, guidance for an individual in their real life as well as in their spiritual unseen thoughts and activity. Is that unreasonable, Pastor Waller?
No, it's not. I mean, it's right on target, because that's according to what the Word of God is saying to us, and it makes sense that judgment does begin, and right there at the house of God. So if we attend church, as Brother Charles was saying earlier, and I want to emphasize on that as well. You see, when you faith in the overseer, that means he oversees the, as a whole. And if a person is there, they're sitting in the audience constantly, I mean, ongoing for weeks, months, years possibly, and then you're just still doing that traditional thing, and the person is still sitting there with that affliction. Give an example. There was a woman sitting in the synagogue on the Sabbath.
Watch
you
it
know,
now.
And
watch
no,
it.
No, you know what I mean? Jesus came through teaching. But the ruler of the synagogue acknowledged the woman that was sitting there. You see what I'm saying? And then suddenly the weight maker came through there and seen the woman who was afflicted for 18 years there.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 7-7-3-8-1-4-3-2-0-2. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up.
So being that this woman was sitting there and Jesus peeped her there, he seen her, and he called her to him. But she had to get up for him to lay his hand on her. And the Bible says that when he laid his hands on her, she was made straight.
Immediately.
And she started to glorify God. This was the key to it right here. She started to glorify God. And all the people that seen that happen, knew that the ruler of the synagogue got mad at Jesus.
Wow.
And turned to the crowd and said to the crowd, you just say, look, there's 6 days in which men ought to work, so we go and be healed on this day, not on this day. We're stuck in the diamond here. You don't want nobody healed. That was the action of, and that's what Brother Charles is talking about. And so when the crowd of people see something like that take place, they know that this person had to be afflicted for 18 long years. And when they got free, they started to rejoice, and they had to celebrate with that woman, man. That was the right place to be in. So if a person can't do it under the body, then they have to send them somewhere. I'm the pastor, but I can't give you a word that'll free you up.
Wow.
So go see the psychiatrist. That could happen.
Right.
I mean,
Charles, give me 1 second. Let me bring Dr. Yehuda Green in from Chicago. Good evening, sir. How you doing?
Well, how are you?
Great. Listen, man, we're having a rather heated discussion here about the choice between the preacher or psychiatrist. Who do we turn to? And I've already told everybody that you are an ordained minister yourself as well as a psychiatrist. And we have one caller that shared some interesting information about the motives of psychiatrists. But let me get this caller that was on, and then I'll come right back to you and pose a question to you. All right?
All right.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press
1080, go ahead. Bro, Charles, can you hear me?
Hello. Okay, I'm here.
Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, the preacher's supposed to be a prophet, first of all. So you're supposed to have, I expect you to have that type of anointing on you, but you got that discernment when something, you're supposed to lay it on your spirit while that person is there. But now the psychiatrist, he can only perform for what you're asking or what problem you're coming up pertaining to or whatever. But if you both, that'd be great to be a preacher and a psychiatrist. I recommend that.
Okay. Well, let me bring Dr. Green in. Dr. Green, here's the question. What role does a preacher play in the psychological growth of a person? Can you kind of start the conversation with that? Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I guess the role that the preacher has in the psychological development of a person is the same role as anyone else in the individual's community has. we should be role models first and foremost to demonstrate what proper behavior is, and secondly, a source of encouragement. If someone is going through something, the preacher, as well as any other member of the community, has the responsibility, I think, to encourage individuals to get and to show them how to get through where they're going, whatever they're going through. They're not the first person to go through that, and we should show them how to get through it.
I see. Now, be careful, Dr. Green. You're going to get thrown out of club because somebody would argue that as a psychiatrist, all you're trying to do is make money off through the pharmaceutical industry. Help me with that. Give me something out of rebut to that.
Well, I guess by the same token, the endocrinologist is just trying to make money off diabetes. The heart surgeon is trying to make money off your heart disease. You go to these people because you need help. And that's what we're trained to do to help specific issues.
Okay. All right. Now, Pastor Waller has a book, Dr. Green, entitled, he's our regular panelist on with us. He has a book entitled Still High. What he does is take a approach to treatment for drug addiction and even the social issues in a person's life that might cause him to be depressed. And he says that there's no need to go for a chemical high because there's a spiritual high. What say you to that?
Well, I guess, is there a need for diabetic medication to the individual who has diabetes? The body is a bunch of chemicals, including the brain.
Okay, great.
When the chemicals are off balance, sometimes you have to do other things to get that chemical balance together.
Okay.
And I agree that if we can avoid any external chemical to find healing, we should. But when we can't, we do what we have to do to get the healing that we need.
Okay. Pastor Waller, what do you say about that?
Well, I commend what he's doing, and I believe in the question that was asked earlier about who do you turn to between the preacher.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about any other place or any other person to turn to myself personally. So the psychiatrist I didn't run to, I knew I was insane, as I said earlier, because of the things that I couldn't stop. And I don't think that was a pill or a particular drug, because I didn't experience it, that could stop me for all those years that I've been able to stop now. So I went to the preacher, and then I was led to God and got an understanding, and I got some wisdom, as you said earlier, about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, that wisdom is the principle of forget wisdom, but in all you're getting, get understanding. So I was there because I knew that I had a problem. And I had to be insane to what I was doing. You know, I was putting drugs in my body that was trying to destroy me. So that means I was considered to be insane. But to other people, they made a thought that I was hip. That's the going thing. That's how the insanity of it is. It makes you think that you're hip because you're doing things to destroy yourself. However, when I got the answer to my problem, I just received the word of God. And that's the reason why I have a book that's entitled Still High. And I know there's many different ways of people being able to get free. The one I love the most is that I went to the preacher, I got the information, and every addiction that I had, I felt like I was insane because I was doing it daily. And now that I got that information, I got free from every one of them, and I never took any medicine for it. I never put no patch on it or anything, but as I heard my brother saying, that you have to reach the people where they are and be able to sometimes be weaned off. Some people sometimes have to be weaned off of things. But when you ask that question, who do you turn to, I can't help but which way I made the turn, and that's when I turned to the preacher. But he got a double fold of it, man. He's a psychiatrist and a preacher, so he won't miss. Wait a minute, didn't he have a sincere heart for helping people? Because I just heard it.
Right.
And that's the difference. You see what I'm saying? Because you got some jive preachers. Hold on for a second.
Uh-oh.
You got some jive preachers trying to get money. You understand what I'm saying? And they ain't there for nothing but your money. Then you got some sincere preachers who don't care nothing about the money one way or the other. So I think that this brother is probably like that when it's when nobody has to survive a court, of course, you know, and being a psychiatrist, I'm sure they pay him to do what he's doing. But some people probably doubt, as Charles said too now, tell you anything and give you anything and think you're all right now. That could happen. I don't know for sure. But I say that could happen if they're jiving.
Yeah,
but if they feel like
happened.
This brother,
it has happened.
You know,
it has happened. Nope.
Yeah, so I just think he's for real. I just heard of him, and I believe he's for real, you know.
And
so.
I can stop picking, Pastor Wall, I can stop picking on you now because we got Dr. Green in
Thank
the dialogue. In the dialogue. Dr. Green.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Green, here's a scenario, all right? And I want you to respond to this like I'm 3 years old, okay? Help me understand. I'm a little shouty on the street, right? I don't know what is normal to most people because all I know is hitting it the way I live. I got to survive. I got to either get rich or die trying. Because my reality is if I don't get out there and hustle, I won't eat tonight, nor will my younger siblings, and possibly my mama too, right? And the world has presented to me a picture that says I've got to take a dog-eat-dog mentality, get them before they get me. Could we consider that to be normal?
Well, his behavior is certainly adaptive and is consistent with survival. So I think, I don't know what you mean by normal, but he's taken a mode of survival on, and I think that would be a logical step to do. Do what you have to do to survive.
Okay. Would you in any way say that he requires some special help or psychological support for his anger spurts or things that would come out to be his anger spurts? Go ahead.
You didn't mention anger. Now, anger is also adaptive. Anger in and of itself is not bad. Now, if he has legitimate reasons to be angry, why would I treat his anger? There are legitimate reasons to be angry about them.
Well, let me hold that thought. So,
like that.
I don't know him. I don't know him, right? And he's angry at what happened to him yesterday. So the first thing he saw me and I said the wrong thing, he swung on me, popped in the mouth. He got a legitimate reason to be angry for what happened yesterday, but he took it out on me today. Talk to me about that.
Well, again, I don't know what you said to him. What the situation was. See, so often there are circumstances around each and every encounter, human encounter. Now, I don't know what happened, why it happened. People just, unless there is some type of mental disorder, people just don't go around hitting other people with no reason or cause. Even with that, in the mind of the person, the aggressor, there was a reason. Now, we have to get down to what the reason was.
I see. And the reason I pose that question is because quite often there are many young people who grow up in inner cities, urban areas, in poverty, economically disadvantaged circumstances, dire poverty, poor education, as well as oftentimes having at least feeling as though their perception of what's real is that they have to always be on guard to defend themselves against anybody who comes to take from them what they work for, what they believe they have, right? And anyone that doesn't have to live in that environment, that don't have to live around gunshots or fights every day, would say that that's abnormal. They're crazy. Are y'all walking with me? In the context of this individual's reality, and I'm speaking this because I know this to be true and for a lot of people, and many of these people, Pastor Wall, incidentally, either go to somebody's church or their mama or grandmama's in somebody's church. And when they ask the preacher about coming to the neighborhood to help fix them, to deal with these things, they can't get it. And young men either have to hurt himself or someone else before he goes to jail or to the grave. And that's what I'm trying to fix the story up for you, Dr. Green, and I want you to really speak to me about the crisis within urban America relative to young people feeling trapped and not seeing a way out. How do the preacher and or the health professional help them?
Well, what you're describing is the economic crisis rather than the mental health crisis. We do what we have to do. Again, if it's an issue of survival, the drug epidemic is deeply rooted in an economic crisis as it is anything else. If that becomes my only means of financial survival, I'm doing what I need to do in order to survive. If I have
so
no other option,
I'm sorry. Is that how we define normalcy for that individual? Is that a fair description of normalcy?
No, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what is normal myself. Now, I can tell you what is necessary for survival, what one may perceive to be necessary for survival.
Okay.
Is that normal? I don't know. Norm is all about what the most people in the group would do or how most people in the group would behave. And I think most people in any group would do what they need to do to survive. So in that sense, is that normal? Perhaps.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Pastor.
You're right. No, he's right about that. They will do whatever is necessary for them to do. So to them, it would be normal. You see, it would be abnormal. You know, because they have to survive.
Now, if individuals within our community had economic access, many of the things they do, they wouldn't do because it would be necessary to do. In terms of what is considered legal or illegal. And that comes down to the question of why the laws are made that are made. And there will be somebody who's going to be on the wrong side of that law.
Okay.
So that's
the
question.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
I
apologize.
That's the question we really need to look at. Now, if I go to jail for selling marijuana, and you consider that illegal, but yet then you change the law and make that legal and say I can't sell it anymore because I don't have a license. So it's not the act itself that's illegal. It's the way that we use rules in order to benefit some and to harm others.
Okay. Come on, y'all. Come on,
Tom.
I know
Tom. He's right on the money. I like what he's saying.
Okay.
So the point I'm making is, now, if I go to jail at the age of 16 for distribution, and in jail I'm in an environment where I have to learn how to fight and to be the aggressor, to be the hammer rather than the nail, and I've learned to become the aggressor, and when I come out, I maintain that same behavior. Is that abnormal?
Wow.
No, that was necessary for survival.
I see. Now, and let me just say, gentlemen, that Dr. Green has worked in the Cook County Jail counseling or providing treatment to young men. And it's supposedly just a small county jail. But tell us about the population there and some of the challenges you face there, Dr. Green.
Now, Cook County Jail is the second largest correctional facility system in the country.
Okay.
And now you have to realize that the many, many people in the county, Cook County Jail, are not there for murder. They're not there for some felony crimes. Many of them are for misdemeanors. And many are there because of the mental health issues. Cook County Jail is the largest provider of mental health services in the state of Illinois.
Wow. Wow.
So
our
correctional system has become our mental health system.
Wow.
In large part. And the other large percentage of individuals are there because of substance use.
I see.
So rather than treating mental illness or treating or appropriately addressing substance issues, we arrest them and that's how we deal with our addiction as well as our mental health issues in the state of Illinois.
And probably many of them learn how to become real criminals when they get there, huh?
Well, we like to consider Cook County Jail as the finishing school for criminal activity.
Okay.
What you didn't know, you can learn there.
My. Okay. Wow. Dr. Green, here's the question I want you to address for me, if you will, sir. How can mental health professionals, see, it seems to be for many people, and particularly religious people, there's a binary choice between going to church or going to the hospital or to the doctor, okay? So how can mental health professionals, as well as religious leaders, work together in harmony to turn around those incidents of the street violence and the loss of life, particularly for young people in urban areas that we were just discussing? Can you give us some ideas about what they can do and what they should do, perhaps, or some guidance?
Again, we have to go back to the decor here. A lot of the violence centers around the drug trade.
Okay.
And the drug
okay.
trade centers around economics.
Right. Right.
People are not violent just because I don't like your shirt or your clothes. I'm violent because you're imposing on my territory. Or you're taking something that I feel belongs to me. And then I have to become violent in order to protect that. I think it's a fallacy for us to make this to be a mental health issue when it's, in fact, largely an economic issue.
I see.
We address the economics of the inner city, there will be continued aggression. And it's not necessarily because I'm mentally ill. It's not because the incidence of bipolar is so high in the inner city that we have all these individuals who are aggressive, and that's all. And if it's just merely a consequence of my mental state, it's a consequence of my economic state.
Okay.
I think we're going down the wrong road if we're trying to address the issue of violence in the inner city just by mental health.
I notice you said just by mental health, but and you've made the case that we need to look at economic factors as well. Certainly, we know that economics has a tremendous impact on a person's overall lifestyle. But when we look at education, educational attainment, and how it broadens one's horizons to make them aware of how to avoid certain pitfalls and things of that nature, to develop their voice economically, socially, politically, and all the other things, would you agree that that's a component, if not the main thing, a component of the addressing economic issues?
I agree. Now, one of the things that a lot of research has been done, particularly at Cook County with some of the researchers from Northwestern University, they were looking at what are some of the factors that are present, and particularly they were looking at the juvenile population and the juvenile detention center. And what they found, the most common thing to be present in offenders, juvenile offenders, were learning disabilities. Secondly, what they saw was other issues such as ADHD, attention deficit disorder. Then you start looking at other things such as depression as well as bipolar affective disorder. So when we're looking at people who are committing criminal offenses, the biggest thing we have to look at is the learning issues. Are these people prepared to participate in society and earn an income? Or have they been isolated due to their learning issue?
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. 9906, this is Dr. Green. I think you had he made a statement, Dr. Green, relative to some of the motives of some psychiatrists in terms of their investment in the
pharmaceutical industry and things of that nature. But he was saying that to say that there is a balance between both the preacher and the politician. I said politician, I meant the health professional, particularly psychiatrist. Did you want to address that with him, 9906?
To the topic that you were talking about, I was just saying that the, oftentimes the doctor's motive, but doctors do two things. They want to operate and medicate,
mm-hmm.
right? And
okay.
a lot of times they are motivated quickly to go to the medicine because they are incentivized by the pharmaceutical companies to do so. And then,
okay.
And in school, they learn medication and not necessarily a lot of the other alternative things that they can use to, you know, to help people. But,
okay. Okay. Can you clear that up for us, Dr. Green? Is there any truth to that, or is there a misunderstanding?
Well, I'm sorry. Would you repeat what the premise is?
Do you mind repeating that again, 9606, relative to doctors being trained to use medicine to treat certain behavioral issues and things of that nature.
And I said it earlier, they have certain things in their toolbox. And the main thing that they have in their toolbox to use to solve a problem, to fix somebody, is medication. And they're often incentivized and motivated, though, by the fact that they are they get kickbacks for, you know, promoting certain medications. I know that times I've gone to the doctor, there are certain type of medicine that is, you know, they got posters of this, posters of that, whatever it may be, around. But there are many other different, you know, medications or alternatives that they have. But my doctor's promoting this.
Okay.
Well,
let me
say this.
Ahead,
first
Dr.
of all,
go ahead, Dr. Green.
Medication, and as you're saying, this is a multi-pronged problem, and medication is not the sole answer to this problem because it's a multifaceted problem. I believe that medication is, if you're looking at a 100% cure. Medication may be 25 to 30% of the cure for any problem. The other 70% of the cure is changing our thinking, changing our behavior.
Wow.
Once we change our thinking and we change our behavior, we will find the change that we're looking for in our lives. Now, medication can be a part of that, but again, it's only a small part, 30%.
Okay. Okay. So with that being said, Dr. Green, do you think it would be useful if more people were alerted to that information that you're sharing? And so, of course, you know, historically, the Tuskegee experiment has been notable in terms of why our elders, grandparents and great-grandparents, sometimes great-grandparents were afraid to go to the doctor because they couldn't trust them because of that historical thing. And for those who may not know, that's where I believe it was syphilis was placed on men down in Alabama, and the United States Navy was using them as specimens to try to see if they had a cure. But again, I'm saying that to say that there are a number of social stigmas and myths around going to the doctor that prevent a lot of people to go and get. I think as Dr. Green has described, about 26% of your cure may be related to some sort of chemical medicine. But he's talking about the change of behavior. Do you think there's a need, Dr. Green, for greater awareness around that, and particularly in urban areas?
Yes, there's a need. But here's the other part of it. If you're talking about urban areas and if you're talking particularly about African-American communities, I think the bigger piece is to have more physicians who are like us, who look like us, can identify with us, who understand our experience and understand why we behave the way we behave if we had a greater sense of that, I think we would have a greater connection. The African-American community would have a greater connection to the providers, to the physicians or nurse practitioners or whatever provider. Much of that distrust comes, I think, from the fact that those who are supposed to help, who are supposed to help me, don't look like me. And
okay.
I wonder if they understand me.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Pastor Waller, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you had an interesting conversation concerning you, because when you really actually get down to it.
Speak into your phone directly, Pastor. Your phone directly, please.
Yeah, okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was listening in, and I was just thinking about the truth. And I think the truth is what we really, really, really need at a time like this, because there's a lot of people that probably is seeking help in many areas. And some, again, have to be weaned off of something.
Wow.
So you give a person a particular pill or some type of medicine, you know, to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got another person that's coming in there with the same problem that they don't need no medicine at all to overcome
it.
And I say that by way of the question that was rendered earlier in your monologue, and that was, who do you run to? Who do you turn to? A preacher or a psychiatrist? You see, and a lot of young brothers out there are not getting ready to run to a psychiatrist. You understand? They're afraid to go to the preacher. A lot of them are because of what they're doing.
Watch out now.
But a person has to be insane. And I think the pastor mentioned about, you know, what's going on at that prison and the facility that hold most people that has to do with not really major crime, but a person has to be sick and insane, man, to do a drug that's controlling them. And then we don't have, quote, a pill to turn them around. However, now there is a way that seems right. You see, that seems right. But then here come one that may say that there's a way that seems wrong. So where do you go from here? Where do you go from here now that you know you got an option there? Which way should I go? Go to the psychiatrist or go to the preacher?
Right.
And then you out there.
What I don't understand, why is the either or question?
We need a very
holistic approach to this.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Green, and then we'll hear from Pastor Wall again.
I guess my point is, we need, if we're talking about healing, again, healing is a multifaceted, multidimensional process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go to either one or the other. We go to we find as many experts as we can and get as much expert advice as we can.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But now, Dr. Green, Pastor Waller made a great point. And for some people, specifically those we tend to focus on in our lecture series, they're not going to run to the psychiatrist, and many of them don't trust the preacher either.
No,
so they're
no,
not
definitely.
Getting the help they need from either source. And that's what the premise
right.
of the question is. How do we get both of those entities to use their leverage, their authority and influence to make a difference in the lives of those who are dying in the street and killing one another? That's really the premise of the question.
Well, see, we shouldn't expect the patient to be knowing what the cure is. We should expect the providers to understand the cure. That means...
As a psychiatrist,
I have to partner with the preacher, and I as the preacher have to find a psychiatrist to partner with. We are the experts, and we need to be defining what the cure is, because the patient don't know. If he knew, he wouldn't need an expert.
That is it. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
there's a lot of people, brother.
Wait a minute now. Now, gentlemen, you all are messing my mind up now, because here's the thing. Here's what's real for some people. I don't know how to trust anybody. My life has been such a shambles and a disappointment. It's difficult for me to trust anybody. So how do I know when I find a good preacher or a good physician? Anybody help me with that, like I'm 3 years old.
Can I say something right there?
Yes, sir.
I see.
I would, and I'm going on my experience now.
Okay.
How I was able to put trust in one is that he came out of the building.
Uh-oh.
To a person that was out there that was insane.
I see.
Day in and day out. Just like I said earlier about the man that was in the tomb crying and cutting on himself day and night.
Mm-hmm.
The man was out of his mind.
Okay.
And, you know, he seen Jesus from afar, man, and he ran down and worshipped him.
Mm.
And the moral of the story is that he changed his life, and he became a messenger.
Okay.
But the thing is that there was a man that came out of a church one day and said something to me, and it caused me to make a turn, you know, not that day, not that week, not that month. Years went by, but I made a turn, and it changed my life. And the reason I say, you know, when you ask that question, who you turn to, I mean, I had to turn to one or the other, and I didn't know anything about neither one of them. So I was just glad he came out of the church. Really.
All right. All right. All right.
Now, I think looking at that scenario he just talked about, this man in the tombstone, Jesus had to be close to the graveyard in order to help that man.
Yes, sir.
We have to get into the graveyard.
Wow. Yeah.
The psychiatrist or the preacher, we cannot be down in the city downtown. We have to go to the graveyard.
If we're
going
to
help somebody.
That's it. Yes, sir. They weren't in the building.
I think it's important, again, from my perspective, the doctor cannot go into the community at 9 o'clock and leave at 5 o'clock.
Wow.
You have to live where you're working. The people have to get to know you for them to trust the psychiatrist. They have to be able to identify with the psychiatrist. They have to be able to connect to the psychiatrist. Then that's where trust begins. But beyond that, why would I trust somebody I don't know? That's the reason it's so important that the psychiatrist look like us, he talk like us, he think like us. If the psychiatrist is going to really help us, we cannot just jump in and out of the community. We have to be a part of the fabric of the community.
It sounds like you said you got to have a caring spirit. That's it, a caring spirit. That's what he had.
I agree.
Hey, let me throw this at Charles. Charles, it sounds like there may be a need to encourage some of these young brothers to look into becoming doctors and coming back to where they come from, man. Don't run the P.O. Hill, come back to where you come from. What about that, y'all? We got 5 minutes, y'all. 6 minutes. What about that, y'all?
Oh, man. You said have the young brothers do what again and run back.
It sounds like what Dr. Green is laying the framework for, and Pastor Wallen, is orientation to get more African Americans in the health profession, specifically those that are helping the preacher to fix his problem, so that there will be people that look like the sick at the graveyard, you know, near their problem. What about that, y'all?
I'm not sure, but hey, give it a shot.
Okay, all right, that's all right, that's all right. Listen, I'm sorry, go ahead, Charles. I cut you off.
Okay,
okay, listen, man, I don't hear Pastor Wiley is playing with the clock again. We're down to 5 minutes before the show ends, and it's just getting good. It's just getting good. Let me do this. 9906, thank you so much for joining us. Is there a final thought you want to share with us before we get out of here?
No, thank you. I appreciate everything.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Enjoy it.
Feel free to join us anytime. Talk straight. Let me go to Brother Charles. Brother Charles, anything before we go to our guest tonight? Final thought, Charles? Okay, I don't know if he can hear us there. Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give Dr. Green an opportunity to give a final thought here, and as we wrap up here. Thank you, Dr. Green, for joining us tonight, sir. And let me give you the floor to share any final thoughts on this topic, the preacher or psychiatrist, who do we turn to as we deal with the mental health crisis?
Let me thank Dr. Green, Pastor Green. Thanks again, man.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Dr. Green, you got the floor.
Well, I want to say we need experts. We need people who know what they're doing. We need the preacher to go to school to become counselors so that they have a fundamental and sound understanding of behavioral health and how, if we're going to give advice, to know what advice to give. We need the psychiatrist to have a greater insight into the spiritual workings of individuals and people. So we understand that this ain't all about medicine. It's about the spirit. It's about the mind. It's about the inner workings of a man. And we have to tap into that. So, again, our psychiatrists need to partner with our preachers, and our preachers need to partner with our psychiatrists if we are serious about addressing this problem.
Okay. All right. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. We're going to have you come back again when we can get you a whole hour and a half. But we appreciate you joining us.
I'm looking forward to it, Doc.
All right. Let me, Pastor Waller, final word before we get out of here.
Yeah, man. I thank Pastor Green, man, for all the things that he shared with us. I like to thank all the people who just tuned in and for everybody who had a chance to ask questions, because that's what it's all about. You know, my favorite saying always is, the Bible is whether two or three gather together in his name. So we always need him in the midst. Once we have him in the midst, man, things can be accomplished. And then you can use the tools, because that's what we need out in the real world. We need tools, man. And thanks to God, you people, as instruments to do. And you know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13 says, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Amen. So I just like to encourage everyone to just put trust in him, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or even begin to think, and everything's going to be all right.
All right. Wow.
So,
this is, I'm sorry. You've been listening to Talk Straight. Please go to our website, learn more about our traveling lecture series at www.bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. Learn about what we're doing. We're endeavoring to take this type of message to now 13 cities, and we need your help, your support, and your contribution. Call next Thursday, this coming Thursday, I'm sorry, we'll be on again at 7 o'clock p.m. for another live episode. Please make plans to join us. If you're listening via Facebook, respond to our question thread, Twitter, or on the blog talk platform. Let me again thank Dr. Green for being here. I realize he was busy and moving around, and we appreciate you taking time from the schedule, sir. And call it, yes, sir, 9906. Thank you again. And Pastor Waller, we thank you. We're going to leave on this note with each tier, there is a lesson. Thank you, gentlemen, again, and we'll be back this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Yeah.